Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. What if customer service could feel like a conversation between friends? Gladly is a customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By enabling B2C companies to focus on people talking to people, Gladly powers a lifetime of conversions across every channel from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in Future Commerce, demo.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip. And today we have an amazing set of guests. I can't wait to introduce them to you. Before we do, I just want to remind you, we are always looking for your feedback. We want your voice on the show, and we'd love to hear what you think about today's show. You can do that over at futurecommerce.fm, and make sure you leave us some feedback. Give us a 5-star on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, everywhere where podcasts are found. All right, without any further ado, I'm so excited for today's show because I think it's right in our wheelhouse here at Future Commerce. Yes. Today we have David Pastewka. David Pastewka, the co-founder at Draper. Say hello, David.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
And Sabrina Abney, Director of E-Commerce at Mizzen & Main. Say hello, Sabrina.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And David, we met just a few months ago, I believe, at RetailX. Your booth took me by surprise. It was very, very interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about what Draper is?
Yeah, so Draper is a virtual try-on company. So basically, it allows a customer to try on clothing when they're browsing on a website. Practically speaking, for the customer, if you show up and find this tool, you punch in some measurements that you know about yourself, like a height, weight, and a body type. And then you'll actually be able to see the clothing that that's on that product page fit on top of your body. And we're doing as well as we can to make that as photorealistic so that you can then kind of flip through the sizes. It's all 3D, so you can spin around it and really kind of just bridge that confidence gap to know what you would get when you actually order the thing.
It's here. It's really here, finally here. We've been talking about virtual try-on forever. And so it's so exciting to see a brand like Draper like really bring this to market. So exciting.
Yeah. And with a prestigious brand, one I think that is becoming more and more of a household name like Mizzen & Main. Sabrina, could you catch us up to speed for those who may not know what Mizzen & Main is? What is the brand story?
Yeah, so Mizzen & Main was founded in 2012. And basically what we do is use performance fabrics to make the most comfortable and easy to care for menswear. So if you think about all like the benefits that you get with athletic wear, but disguised as a dress shirt, is kind of what we do. Our founder was working in DC and saw a bunch of just really sweaty interns running all over the place into meetings. And he thought like there has to be a better way. He didn't have a retail background originally, but started researching fabric innovations and found some really great fabrics and started making some dress shirts. And here we are today. 7 years later.
Wow. And that's pretty awesome. When I first heard about Mizzen & Main, of course, you know, my head is in the sand about these sorts of things usually. I remember at Shop Talk a couple years ago, I think Mizzen & Main was, attending the show in some way with, another technology partner, but I remember seeing racks of, those shirts, you know, the Mizzen & Main dress shirts. And above it was a banner that said that your domain name was comfortable.af, which I thought was just like absolutely perfect to sell in one very easy to remember domain. Like these shirts are comfortable AF.
They are.
There's a story behind that, right? Like there's a story behind that domain.
There is. Well, like kind of the origin of it is Mizzen & Main is not easy to remember. Our founders joked like, had he known that it'd be hard for people to remember, maybe we'd pick something else. They're the two masts of a ship, for anyone who's wondering where that came from.
Yeah,
he went to something that kind of felt like traditional, but I don't know, airy sailing. But we landed on comfortable.af because that is much catchier and easier to remember. And our marketing director was tasked with the responsibility of figuring out how to get this. It's actually an Afghanistan domain. And she couldn't figure out where, how to acquire that. So she ended up on what she felt was like a very sketchy website to buy this AF domain. And she was like, you know, like, I don't know, it seems super sketch, but it's the only place where I can like find it and they'll let me buy it. It's turns out to be a totally legit site. And so hence we have comfortable.af as kind of like one of our vanity domains that we use.
Yeah. I think when you're, you know, when you're thinking about sort of the brand voice, it sort of just positions Mizzen & Main in like a certain part of my brain. And I'm sure that you have interesting challenges selling, you know, direct to consumer online. I'm sure, you know, some people are probably wondering, like, how does Draper fit into that story? Sabrina, could you give us a little bit of an understanding of like the kinds of challenges that your customer faces? And how something like Draper might solve that for you?
Sure. So really, I believe that all digitally native brands kind of similarly have this challenge where the customers can't try on different sizes, understand the fits before they commit to a purchase. So ultimately, that's what we're trying to do here. We carry a couple different fits in our shirts. And it's hard for a customer who's not familiar with our brand to try to understand, like, well, what's the difference between a trim cut and a standard cut? How does that fit me differently? And we do our best. We've tried a variety of different things and kind of explain it, but you really understand it when you put it on. Hence, like you said, you saw this shop talk. And really what we're trying to do is get people into our shirt so they understand like what that difference is, kind of little bit by little bit. And that's kind of where Draper comes into play, is trying to help people understand like visually what that looks like on you before you decide to make a purchase or you buy multiple sizes and figure like maybe one of these will work.
Yeah, I bet JJ Watt is the standard fit.
Actually,
would be my guy.
He is a 2X trim.
A 2X yes. Trim. Oh, there you go. Interesting. Wow. That makes sense.
You'd be surprised how many people actually write into our customer service to specifically ask us that too.
Wow. That's how I think I found out about Mizzen & Main first, was that JJ Watt campaign you did, which was awesome. And that was like, oh man, back like 2017, yeah. maybe earlier. Really great. Like I think you probably hit your target customer with that ad quite well. Actually, speaking of which, who would you say is your customer? I'm just assuming some things right now, but who would you say your customer is?
Our customers, they span, you know, like a pretty broad demographic, right? We've got guys just entering the workforce. We have guys who are kind of like high level executives, a lot of business travelers, obviously pro athletes like JJ. We also have Phil Mickelson who wears our shirts. They tend to index a little bit higher in income, or they're kind of up and coming and they're looking to optimize their whole life, whether it be work or, you know, sports and activities they participate in. And this is kind of like where we fit in, is we're trying to optimize their wardrobe, that you can like look nice and professional, but still feel really good and comfortable. And so that kind of spans, you know, a lot of guys, like not just athletes, but we're in Texas here at Mizzen, and it's like 105 today. Like everybody needs like a more comfortable, breathable shirt.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's really difficult to like be in a workplace environment as a man that wants to wear stuff that looks nice, and you're just like it. It's yeah, I. I was a speaker at Top Talk the year that you had that booth. And so I got a shirt and it really was comfortable AF and it really was as advertised. Super cool technology. It's really unique material. I loved it.
I think it's interesting that so comfort is one thing that I think is probably a little hard to bridge the gap through, you know, through a phone or a laptop screen. But that sounds like one challenge to overcome. But try on, like how it fits and how the different fits might fit on your body, is another challenge. And you know, it sounds like a technology like Draper might close that gap. David, like, could you tell us a little bit about, you know, the types of solutions that you might employ to help a brand like Mizzen & Main with your technology?
Yeah, it's really kind of who we are targeting on our side is the customer that is maybe not perfectly comfortable shopping online, or it's kind of the newer customer to Mizzen & Main, or to a lesser respect, even customers that have purchased Mizzen & Main before but have sort of forgotten their size. I think the way that we put it is like what we're trying to create is we're trying to replicate the experience you have if you actually try something on your body and then stand in front of a mirror, because we believe that's really where the purchasing decision happens. Like even if you bought the thing, that's when you decide whether or not you want to keep it, is kind of standing in front of your mirror. And so our focus is very much on producing those realistic and accurate kind of 3D visuals that you can then put in front of the customer on the website to hopefully get them kind of to that buying decision before having to necessarily order it and then deal with returns. And I've been kind of speaking with a bunch of the customers kind of in this pilot phase that have used it and been soliciting their feedback. And that's a lot of what you hear. It's people that have been like, have heard phenomenal things of Mizzen & Main. Their word of mouth referrals are insane. People love their shirts, but for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's just not someone that has bought a lot online. That's kind of me. I don't shop online at all. And so part of this is to kind of solve a problem for myself. And it just gives them that extra little bit of confidence. Like they see, as Sabrina was saying, the difference between the trim and the standard. Or they pick out that one part kind of on their body that they usually have problems with. And, you know, if they were to try it on in real life, they would look there immediately to see kind of how it fell on their hips or something of that sort. And just trying to really give them that just more realistic experience when they're on the website.
Well, especially with materials like Mizzen & Main uses, it's not necessarily your standard, you know, shirt material. It's way more interesting, and it's, you know, it's going to fall a little bit differently potentially. How do you sort of handle like the actual, like, I mean, I love your name that you've picked, Draper, because I just think of like, you know, something, well, actually I think of George Costanza being draped in the materials, but the idea that like the you're going to see how the cloth falls right on your body. So how do you account for that? And what does that experience kind of feel like?
Yeah. So for this one, first off, we can't do the feel of it, unfortunately, because I know that is a lot of what kind of sells the shirt.
Right.
So maybe in the future when you can send some sort of like tactile device to feel the thing in advance. But what we did is, to produce these is we actually got a bunch of the Mizzen & Main shirts shipped to us. And then for us is we 3D scanned them. And then it was a lot of just kind of going back and forth with actually putting the things on our bodies and then looking at what we had produced for the actual visualization and making sure that those two things coincided. So it's like making sure that you have that realism. And then it was, of course, getting feedback from Mizzen & Main to make sure that the look and feel was also kind of on point. And some of those like smaller stylistic things, making sure like the right features were accented. But it's very much like actually putting the thing on, tweaking the parameters in the cloth simulation. But that's not something we have to kind of go into a lot of detail on today. But yeah, just really trying to match realism with what we were producing. What we're producing to realism.
And it's been a pilot so far, as I understand. It sounds like this is an area of innovation that a company like Mizzen & Main might be able to leverage as sort of a differentiator. I'm sure there's a lot of people trying to sell shirts online. So Sabrina, I guess I would ask you, how important is that innovation to a company like Mizzen & Main to stay competitive?
The foundation of our shirts and our fabric is innovation and really wanting to kind of carry over technology onto the site that kind of mimics what we're doing in our fabric as part of our brand ID. And then from a perspective of trying to make shopping as easy as possible for customers online, that's where that technology and innovation becomes really important. It's already hard enough to figure out what size am I supposed to wear, what fit am I supposed to wear. What we want when customers come to our site is just for the whole experience, that customer journey, to just feel easy, just like it'll feel easy when I put that shirt on and it's real comfortable. So it's highly important to us. And just as, more and more people go to start shopping online, it just becomes increasingly more important.
I would imagine that, like, as you introduce a lot of innovation, and, you know, this is super innovative, I love this so much. You've got different ways to sort of figure out how you're being successful with innovation. So, I'd love to hear sort of like in general advice for our listeners on how you determine what makes a successful innovation. And also, like, more specifically, like, are there any data points you can share that, you know, show the success of using a virtual try-on tool, or like, how did you determine what success would look like?
So we had definitely KPIs that we are still tracking. We're nearing statistical significance, I think, David, but not quite there yet. So things like conversion rate, bounce and exit rates, how many people are engaging and interacting with the tool, all KPIs that we're looking at. But even as David mentioned, we are doing customer surveys and speaking to customers and asking, like, does this help you? And over 50% of the customers that we've talked with have said, like, this has helped me decide what size I should wear. Or this has helped me, instead of buying multiple sizes, like, I could pick a size and feel confident about, buying just that one size. And so for us, there's kind of this harder to measure component of just building trust with customers in general, that is really valuable to us. So that gets weighed into our equation of, like, is this successful? So maybe we see, like, some of our KPIs aren't exactly where we want it to be, but, like, does this build trust with our customers? And does that help them make a better decision shopping on our site?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, think about the return. The return problem is such a big e-commerce problem as well. Like, I see this as like a massive cost reduction in returns. If someone was going to buy two sizes or even three sizes and sort of bracket those purchases, like, the fact that they're only going to buy one shirt now, that's mind blowing. That's game changing.
It is definitely game changing from, like, a cost perspective, because everything gets shipped back FedEx, and that can add up definitely when customers are buying multiple sizes. And a lot of people have that shopping behavior, like, I don't know what size I'm going to wear, so I'll buy two. And they don't think about, nor should they be overly concerned about that additional cost to the company. Like, we look at that as, if that's what it takes to get you into one of our shirts, then we want you in our shirts. But definitely that cost reduction for not seeing the returns come back is fantastic. But it's also an inconvenience to the customer to have to go through, even as seamless as you can make a return process, they still probably have to print out a label, or they have to stick a label on a box. They have to go somewhere. Maybe it's just in the mailroom in their office, but somewhere, and drop it off. And
preach.
It's an inconvenience, right? So eliminating that from the experience from the customer side is great too.
I love this idea that success doesn't just look like a conversion, but success looks like a positive customer experience, which requires for you to quant, right? Because we're all addicted to data. It's really hard to quantify whether it was a satisfactory experience, especially when people are, it might just come down to NPS, but I mean, why don't you just talk to your customer? Just talk to your customer and ask them if this was a valuable tool for them. Are there any learnings about the customer that a company like Draper can make in having those conversations that helps you inform the future direction of your product?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's been insanely valuable so far. And I think, just to kind of build on what you just said, is it's so much easier to just find a single number that you're watching, that you're trying to optimize. It's like easier to kind of rally troops around it. But when you actually start to speak with the customer, like everyone is a little bit different. Like, sure, you can say, oh, I converted this person when they wouldn't have otherwise, or maybe I saved a return here. But every single case is so different, and what they found value in is also so kind of different and specific. And so for one person, it might be as simple as, hey, you told me what size I should buy. That's fantastic. And for someone else, they use the tool extensively and they try on all the sizes and they like really, really analyze it. And they're picking out various folds here or there. Or it's like a decent anecdote was Mizzen & Main just had a big anniversary sale. And kind of to your point of returns being a pain is during the anniversary sale, I know the return policy was a little bit less lenient. And so you had a bunch of people coming there. Being more confident and saying like, yeah, I bought 7 shirts instead of 2 because I was, you know, I just had that extra kind of boost in confidence.
Wow.
In a perfect world, I would exclusively look at customer feedback and doing customer phone calls. Unfortunately, it doesn't scale especially well and you still need a customer to say, sure, I want to talk to you. But yeah, I mean, we've been able to populate a kind of a backlog of feature requests and kind of a product direction for us. That's going to keep us busy for the next kind of 3 to 6 months just off of these first few customers using it.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries for every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by Gladly. For today's discerning customers, customer service has become the new marketing. The world's most customer-centric brands are realizing that great personalized experiences are the difference between thriving and dying. And that's why Gladly built a customer service platform that puts people at the center, not tickets or cases. By focusing on the customer, Gladly helps power a lifetime of naturally productive conversations across any channel, from phone, email, text, chat, and social media. Gladly helps companies better understand who their customers are, like what did they last reach out about, and whether or not they're more particular to kicking it in a pair of high tops or wingtips. With key customer context at their fingertips, companies can meet their customers where they are, and they're empowered to build the kinds of relationships that drive long-term loyalty and long-term revenue. It's tough to try to build a customer experience for the next 50 years using the technology of the past 50 years. See what a truly customer-centered platform looks like at gladly.com/FC demo. That's gladly.com/FC, as in Future Commerce, demo.
All right, we recently had Jeremy King, who who's now head of engineering at Pinterest, who was a former CTO at Walmart.com. He was remembering back to his eBay days of how they used to divvy up customer check-ins, and everybody, including executives, were required to speak to 10 customers within. Yeah, I forget what it was, like a quarter or a half. But being customer facing and being open to talking to customers was part of the culture there. And he felt like it was something that he's carried into all of his, you know, it's made him successful and carried into all of his, you know, future roles. It sounds like, you know, one of the keys to success, especially in a partnership between a brand like Mizzen & Main and a technology partner like Draper, is having that at the core, is measuring success, but not just through, through purchase rate, but through actual human interaction. It's what makes partnerships, because partnerships are based on people and not necessarily on data points. I find that really, really interesting. And very germane to what we usually, what we've been talking about here, especially this year on the show, we've been talking a lot about clienteling, and it sounds like the story here is really just how can we serve our customer better?
We're a premium brand. Our shirts are kind of in the ballpark of about $125. And so we have conversations internally a lot about like, what are the other things that we're doing? Like, why would a customer spend more to continue to do business with us? And we have a great product, but we have to be doing more to earn their loyalty. And it's a lot of things like this, where we hear from customers like, this did help me. And I really appreciate like you guys going through, you know, the extra effort of providing tools like that to make it a better experience for us. Like, it's those sorts of things that kind of win their loyalty and have them coming back. And for many, many reasons, that's a wonderful thing. Like, we want our customers to be advocates for us and share word of mouth. It also allows us the ability to leverage our CAC better and other things like that.
Yeah, things that do matter. Those do matter, right? I'm curious, just because I don't know, is there a clicks to bricks strategy at Mizzen & Main to put performance fabric, you know, shirt into the hands of people that are shopping elsewhere?
We've talked about ways that we could get just our fabric into the hands of customers. We do have a pretty robust wholesale and retail strategy. So we're in all Nordstrom stores. We have over 700 retail partners, and we've started opening our own Mizzen branded stores across the country. And in this effort, just like, we know that getting that fabric or getting a customer just put on the shirt, like, it almost doesn't matter where, we want them to try it and put it on. And then we can work on, like, once they're sold on the brand, then we can work on trying to pull them through to our e-commerce site or to our stores. But getting someone to touch and feel the fabric, like you guys did at Shop Talk a few years back, is really important to us.
Is there I also feel like with a tool like this, there's going to be a strategy, like, you can have this play into other campaigns as well. And I mean, virtual try-on, I feel like, lends itself to even content creation. Have you explored that? And for you, David, like, have you explored that as like a feature as well? Or like, I don't know, maybe I'm headed down a weird route here, but like, I just feel like if you're trying things on virtually, it just seems like such a shareable asset.
Yeah, from our side, that's definitely the hope. I mean, the most that we can kind of control today is, like with Mizzen & Main today, it's on the product page. And we would, of course, love to experiment and, you know, kind of put these in some, maybe some personalized email blasts and try it on other channels and just experiment there and see what we get out the other side. I think this also becomes much more relevant kind of in the future of Draper. So like today we're putting clothing on a body that's approximately like you. In the not too distant future, it's going to be placed right on your body and it's going to look just like you. And I think especially as that kind of final asset that you're evaluating, as it kind of becomes more compelling, it's going to be more shareable. And I think you can start to leverage that much heavier.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome.
Somebody has to ask the question, so I guess I'll be the guy. Are there any data or privacy concerns around sharing, you know, your personal measurements or your body data with a company like Mizzen & Main? They may trust Mizzen & Main, but do they necessarily trust Draper? How do you go about doing that in a way that builds trust with a customer? And how do you take those things seriously? I guess is what I would ask.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's kind of like a, hey, now I guess we have to ask. Like, it's a very important question to lead with even. At the time, I guess there's two answers to this. First off, there's kind of today and then there's tomorrow. Today, there really isn't much of a concern. It's a height, weight, body type, completely anonymized. It's the kind of thing where like the aggregate statistics that Mizzen can see afterwards could be helpful to them. But there's no personally identifiable information kind of in that. Now, as we do progress towards a more personalized experience, our stance is that this data belongs to the customer 100%. And kind of to what you were sort of referring to there, it'll be sort of the kind of like a provisioning model where if you have entered in enough information such that you've created an account, you have some personally identifiable information in there, whether that be a name maybe associated with the body that you've created or, you know, just a body itself. That's the kind of thing where like you basically grant access to Mizzen & Main such that their clothing can be fit to your data. But it's always yours. It's always available to delete, to fully cleanse. We've got some extreme privacy, like some people on the team that are incredibly kind of into their own personal privacy. And so we take kind of leads from them in terms of how to do all of these things properly and make sure that we never never fall into like a bit of a trap that may eventually kind of spiral out into something that would compromise someone's privacy.
Yeah, customer advocacy. That's an important part of especially a technology and embodied data startup. Sabrina, I'm curious what your take is as a, you know, on behalf of the brand. Is that something that you were concerned with when you piloted the Draper technology?
Yeah, we had several conversations kind of up front before any work was done, like what would our customers' data be used for? Where would it be stored and kept? Will it be anonymous? And those, we had lots of those conversations up front before we decided to move forward and felt good about that. I do agree with David that kind of like in the future, for a customer to be able to like create an account and attach, you know, their kind of 3D rendered body to their account, where they own the data and they can change it or delete it or do whatever they want will be great. Because it will also, from the customer's perspective, if it allows us to give them a better experience on the site and they're open to sharing it, then that's exactly what we'll use it for, but give them the ability to always remove it from their account if they want.
You mentioned that, you know, this data is going to, I guess my question is, as this experience moves forward, who's going to own this data from like a 1P versus 3P perspective? Will it be Mizzen and Main data, or will it be Draper data? Who's the account with? Who's going to actually store the information?
So we are storing the information, and kind of back to it. It is the kind of the customers to again provision the use of as they see fit. Now we are kind of in this stage. Like I mentioned, some of this aggregate information might be interesting to Mizzen and Main to see how well their shirts kind of fit an average shopper to their website. And so in that particular case, when it's sort of combined and aggregated, you know, that's something that can be shared. But we totally understand the sensitivity of the kind of the material that we're dealing with here. And it is important that it belongs to the customer and lives in a place that we know it's kind of just being accessed appropriately.
So actually in many ways, Draper as a very big data component to your business as well. Like this data could be used to accomplish a lot of things, and you're going to give customers the ability to allow for it to be shared in different places, whether it's Mizzen and Main or other retailers. Like they're going to have control over their data and be able to leverage it to accomplish other things. Is that sort of like where you see your business being is that part of your business in the future?
Yeah, it could be. I think we have to, it's always going to come down to kind of what the request is and seeing, kind of just finding that right balance between everything, right? Like if it's clearly exploitative of the kind of customer's data in some way that doesn't make sense, you know, barring the access to that. But if there's some other benefit there that seems safe and again is kind of anonymous and aggregated, we're still kind of exploring to see where all of this information can be beneficial to a brand. Can it help with future product development?
Right.
And answering that kind of question.
That's interesting. So the other thing that I keep hearing is 3D body scans are on the roadmap. Without getting, you know, maybe too specific, when do you see being able to employ more personalized body data in the future here? And then, you know, next 6 months, next year, next 2 years, next 5 years?
Yeah, we've been developing backing up a little bit further, we've been a body scanning company for 6 or 7 years, and Draper is kind of a new product to that company. And so we've been developing a body scanning app for over a year now, and we should be piloting it with one or two companies by the end of the year. Now that'll be at a pretty alpha stage, and so if you happen to kind of stumble upon one of those, you might end up kind of testing that app out for us. When we'd actually be able to kind of offer that when we think it's good enough to offer to someone like Mizzen and Main, and maybe that gets integrated, is probably the 6 month range.
Wow, that's super exciting. Oh my gosh. Looking forward to hearing updates on that front as well. It's been a big topic of ours or a theme for the show. So super excited to see that come to fruition.
I'm curious. So back to the sort of one-to-one, you know, access data front, as a marketer, Sabrina, I'm curious if, you know, in trying to build the on-site customer experience, I'm curious if there's a, if this would solve, having access to that sort of information would solve some of the challenges that you have today at Mizzen and Main around creating audience segments and campaigns for audiences. What are some of the things that you do today to sort of, you know, to market directly to customers? And is there some future where knowing this kind of information about a customer would help you make that more specific?
Absolutely. I think as it pertains to fits and as we look to expand our product assortment, kind of just, I think in aggregate, knowing where the trends are going will help our product team for starters. But then from like a marketing perspective, we have, like David mentioned, our big birthday sale that we had recently. We sent out campaigns that were size-based to those customers because we know that things are going to sell so quickly, and like a customer pain point during birthday sales specifically is, well, I got to the site and I can't find anything in my size because it's already sold out so fast. So we send out campaigns based on size, like click on this link, here's everything available for you in your size. And being able to do more of that in the future on a regular basis would be great. I think our customers want that more one-to-one experience. They don't want to have to browse through our site and go look around for things that are appropriate for them. And that's not just in product recommendations for like style or color, but also for fit and size. It's all back to just making it easier for them to shop.
We've been talking a lot about that. And Sabrina, I'd love your input here. I don't know that we have a choice in the very near future as to whether or not we can or should segment and market directly to customers, because I believe that there is a customer expectation that's not set by us or by our customers. Our customers' expectations aren't set by us anymore. They are set by the other great experiences they're having elsewhere. For instance, if you're not offering two-day free shipping, you're at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Someone else set that expectation. Amazon set that expectation, not you. And mm-hmm. the customer has that expectation of your ability to be able to deliver on that expectation. And so I'm curious what you think about the idea that a personalized, always remember me, you know my size, and I should only see things that pertain to me is an expectation your customers have now or if they will in the future.
I think that our customers don't have that expectation right now, but they will very, very quickly. And part of that is specifically because our core demographic are men and they don't shop online quite as frequently. Female shoppers, man, you go to like any website dedicated to like women's clothing or athletic wear, and they've pulled out all the stops. They have like lots and lots of tools, and it's become, I think, much more expected with female shoppers right now. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're months away, early next year, where this will be an expectation for all of our customers. So like, why are you showing me this if it doesn't pertain to me? For our male customers as well. Just like everyone has this expectation for very expedited shipping because of other retailers. So like our thought is always wanting to be kind of ahead of that or as close to, you know, delivering it to our customers as they're expecting it. But the more and more brands are starting to move to more customized personalization, it will become an expectation. For sure.
That makes sense. And you're actually kind of setting the trend in the men's category, at least on this then. that's pretty exciting. Thinking back to something else you said, you run out of stock in specific sizes very, very quickly, but now you know what a lot of your customer sizes are. So is this data also affecting how you stock and how you like even like down into supply chain?
Yes, definitely. We have passed through some information that we've gotten just at the aggregate level to our planning team. And we have had other tools on the site in the past where we've captured some sizing data. Back down to our planning team. So when they plan our size curves, they know what to buy deeper in. And it's been changing where, you know, obviously, like, you know, a medium or large is always going to be the most popular sizes. But what we're seeing where we need to go in deeper in sizes as we grow our customer base, that like customer is changing. As our core customer gets a little bit older, their bodies are changing some. And right, we have to change the way we think about the size curves of what we're making to make sure that we have that product ready for those customers.
So are you doing like predictive modeling on that? that's really interesting. What a crazy data point. I love that.
We're doing kind of our own homegrown predictive modeling, but not any like fancy algorithmic modeling, but just, you know, looking at trends of how these sizes have gone in the past and like where we're seeing them go. So like we are seeing our standard sizing grow to be more of a penetration, higher penetration of our size curve. So instead of capping ourselves and saying like, well, this is just going to be it because that's what we're buying, we're trying to find like how much is enough so we don't sell out of those sizes. Right, because if we don't have a size, especially from kind of like a size inclusivity standpoint, if we don't have those sizes available for customers, when they find somewhere that does, we may have lost them. So we have to stay ahead of making sure that we have the sizes in stock for them outside of birthday sale where we are trying to move all that inventory. But
this gets down to even like sizing, like sizes, like we have two different fits and, you know, several different sizes, but like small, medium, large, extra large, like, are you looking to get even more specific with sizing as this data starts to come to light, especially with future enhancements with 3D modeling ahead?
Yeah, make sure I answer your question correctly. But yeah, so across the fits and across each individual size, like small, medium, large, and extra large. And then even kind of looking at like our large trim and how is that fitting our customer? And as we, you know, the more kind of size and fit data that we can understand about our customer, we might say like, hey, you know, we need to tweak the way this shirt fits just in general. Like maybe it needs to have a tiny bit more room in the shoulders or the sleeves need to be a tad bit shorter. Trying to perfect each individual size for our customers.
Or actually I think, that is amazing and super cool. But I think what I was asking was, and I ask it in a very convoluted way, but are you going to add sizes? So like are you going to have the XLA? Or that, you know, like the L, you know, B or whatever it is, where there's like different fits. Obviously, that's terrible branding. But, you know, are you going to start expanding the number of sizes even between the S and the medium?
Like half sizes.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I think some of that we'll have to lean on the data to see what it tells us. Obviously when you add a lot of those half sizes and things like that, it is a big inventory investment to do that. So we'd have to feel really good about the need for those. So we would probably, you know, like I mentioned just a second ago, like look at refining our existing fits to make sure they fit as best as possible. But if we found that there was a large need for another size, that's something that we would definitely explore.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the brand Adams, which is, you know, a new startup footwear brand who, you know, proactively ships quarter size increments to their customers. So you buy one pair of shoes, but you get three just to find the perfect fit for, because each of your feet are actually sized a little differently. I find that an interesting category or an interesting business model and a way that might be interesting to grow in a vertical and probably really tough to implement in a, you know, in a broad category business that, you know, has separates, that, you know, it's again, very capital intensive. But really, really fascinating. I appreciate so much that both of you were willing to take so much time with us today. I'd love to, hear more about the story as it progresses. David, I'd just going to ask you, you know, we always close the show asking people to predict the future. Where do you think the next 5 years is heading for Draper? What does 5 years from now look like as far as you're concerned from a retail landscape perspective?
Yeah, I think it happens a little bit quicker than 5 years, but everyone will be shopping as themselves online. There's so many advantages to shopping online versus in store. There are certain things you can't bridge, like the feel of a fabric. But for the rest of them, the technology is definitely progressing in the direction where it'll be, you know, you show up at Mizzen and Main's website and it's just pictures of you there, trying that on in that, you know, that running pose or in that sitting pose. And, you know, you are the male model. And then guess what? If you were to purchase that size and you put it on at home, you could compare kind of yourself in the mirror versus that picture. And those two things would be nearly identical. Yeah, there's a lot happening on kind of the technology side that's making that all possible, such that, I'd say comfortably in the next 3 years, that's going to be possible.
Yes.
And Sabrina, I would ask you the same question. Like, what is the next, you know, 3 to 5 years look like from an innovation and technology perspective for Mizzen and Main?
Well, we have a lot of things on the roadmap that we're either testing or trying. But in terms of, you know, virtual try-on and personalization, it will be just as you go to a website today and 100% expect to see some sort of size chart or size guide, it will become virtual try-on or something very similar, whether it's actually you or someone who looks like you. That will be the expectation, not the like exception or like someone doing something really cool. And, you know, from a personalization standpoint, being able to go to all sites and have them know exactly who you are, what you want to see, what you don't want to see. And that's through the site, the whole customer journey, really, emails, digital ads, all of that, just really custom to you to like reduce the sheer amount of noise that you kind of get hit with as you shop online, is where I think it'll be.
So exciting.
Well, this has been fascinating. Wow. Thank you guys so much. If you want more information about Draper, where can people find you online, David?
Yeah, you can either go to draper.com. It's a little dated now, but there's a form field there that I'll respond to personally, or you can just email me at david@draper.com.
That's a D-R-A-P-R?
Yes.
And Sabrina, we know it's comfortable.af.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you both so much. We appreciate all of your time. And thank you for listening. Just a reminder, we want to hear from you. Add your voice to this conversation. You can do that at futurecommerce.fm, and make sure that you subscribe and like all of our podcast goods. Wherever podcasts are found, you can listen at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere that you might have a smart speaker device. I happen to have one in my living room, and I can listen to myself speak at any time, and often do. It's very creepy, by saying, play Future Commerce Podcast. I don't know where I'm going with this ending, but it feels right, so I went there. That's it. That's all we got.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us. The audio version of our show is produced by Chris Harry at Pod Sherpa. Show notes are written by Jordan Griffey and Leanne Heikend. Scheduling and coordination are provided by Aaron DeCruz. Our intro music is composed and performed by Spectral Wolf. Future Commerce is a production of Protein Commerce, LLC.